Okay, ladies and gentlemen, of your attention, we're going to get started. This is the 48th General Assembly of the House of Assembly, the Public Accounts Committee. We're meeting this afternoon to address the Department of Business, Tourism, Culture and Rural Development, particularly under Section 3.2 of the Auditor General's report. And I'll just explain the process that we'll use here. I'll introduce the committee, or the committee will introduce themselves, and I'll ask the officials introduce themselves, and the Auditor General staff introduce themselves. I'll have the deputy clerk swear in the officials, and then I'll ask the deputy if he would like to do an opening remarks regarding the AG's recommendation and the letter that we had sent in response. And then we turn it over. I'll ask each of the first chair, start with the vice chair, to ask some questions. There's normally 5-minute intervals, but you know, if conversation's going on and it's to conclude a certain question or point, I'll allow that. And then we go back and forth to clarify anything until we're satisfied that things are moving the way that's been outlined. And you know, it's not a confrontational process, it's an information gathering process. And at the end of it, the Public Accounts Committee does a report to the House of Assembly, indicating, you know, if we're happy with the responses and that we support the move forward process, and if we have any other recommendations that we'll send back to the minister and the department about how we feel things should change or the approach should be different than what's already outlined, to go from that process. At the end of it, I do ask the AG if he would like to have any comments about the information that he's heard and the discussion that's gone from there. So I'll start by introducing myself. I'm David Brazel, the MHA for Conception Bay East Belle Island. I'm the chair of the Public Accounts Committee.
Derek Bragg, I'm the vice chair of Public Accounts Committee and MHA for Fogo Island, Cape Friels.
Pam Parsons, I'm the MHA for the District of Harbour Grace, Portagrave, and a member of the Public Accounts Committee.
John Finn, the MHA for Stephenville, Port-au-Port. I'm substituting today for Mr. Scott Reed.
I'm Jerry Rogers, and I work for the lovely people of St. John's Centre, and I'm also a member of the Public Accounts Committee.
Barry Patton, MHA for Conception Bay South, and also a member of the Public Accounts Committee.
Larry Weatherby, Acting Director for Accelerated Growth, Tourism, Culture, Industry, and Innovation.
Ted Lohman, Deputy Minister, same department.
Gillian Skinner, Director of Regional Economic Development, TCII.
Andrew Dix, Acting Director, Corporate Services, TCII.
Terry Patton, Auditor General.
Sandra Russell, Deputy Auditor General.
Trina Keats, Audit Principal of Performance Audit.
And Jessica Nugent, Audit Manager.
Okay, I'll ask the Deputy Clerk if she'll swear in the witnesses, please.
I, Larry Weatherby, do solemnly swear that the evidence that I shall give on this examination shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
Thank you. I, Ted Lohman, do solemnly swear that the evidence I shall give in this examination shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
I, Gillian Skinner, do solemnly swear that the evidence that I shall give on this examination shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
I, Andrea Dix, do solemnly swear that the evidence that I shall give on this examination shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
Examination shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And just to open, just to note that you know, what we're dealing with here are the three recommendations from the Auditor General, and we've had the responses and we've had a chance to review it, and the members will have some questions relevant to that for clarification and some explanation as to the process you're going to use to go forward. I will tell you, in comparison to what we've dealt with for the last few days, you know, some we had, I think, 30 recommendations, 29 recommendations on one and 17 on another. So this one falls in line. There may be more general discussion than specifics, you know, around your process forward, or it might be exactly just specifics around what you've outlined and clarification on those. So appreciate that. I'm going to start, Mr. Bragg. Oh, sorry, yes, sorry, Mr. Loma. Give you an opportunity if you want to talk about, an introduction to the recommendations of the AG and how you're going to approach.
Okay, well, we didn't really prepare an opening statement, but I guess basically there are three recommendations that came out of the Auditor General's 2015 report. One was around government departments establishing performance targets for all business financing programs and monitoring against those targets. I think the second recommendation was along the lines of taking corrective action where it was felt necessary, where you weren't achieving the targets that you've established for the program. And the third was around reporting to the House of Assembly on the performance against your targets. So we fundamentally agree with the Auditor General's three recommendations. I think we're making good progress towards addressing those. So I guess we'll maybe just open it up for questions and get into it.
Perfect. That's normally the approach. Okay, Mr. Bragg?
Okay, perfect. Well, I have one question. Since there's only three headings. So once you finance a project and you roll it out, how do you follow up, measure success, see if we got a good bang for our buck or what the value was back to the province at the end of the day?
Right. So I guess there's a couple of things I'd mention. So in terms of the recommendations, of course, that the Auditor General made, I guess we went in 2013, we went through an amalgamation of programs. We had approximately 21 programs that we brought down to two programs. So those are programs of sort of general application. And what the programs were meant to do were give us more flexibility in dealing with the clients. So rather make clients fit various sorts of criteria and jump through various sorts of hoops, the idea was that we could provide better client service by having more open programming, and that programming would then allow us to be more dynamic in responding to changing market conditions, we'll say. So there were two programs. There was the Business Investment Fund, which is, I guess, the scope of what we're talking about here today. The other program was the Regional Development Fund. So at the time, we undertook two parts. So the first part was we said we would engage in a model of continuous improvement. So what we would do is we would go and we would monitor our investments on an ongoing basis and then use that information that we gathered to tweak our programs and services. So the indicators that we were using since the inception of the program would be things like sector that the investment was in, maybe region of the province, type of investment, type of project, by program type, those sorts of pieces. So we've been monitoring based on that information. We've been using that information to tweak our product, our offerings as we go. So, for example, we've got the Business Development Support Management Committee, for example, used findings from that continual improvement process, that continual assessment, to change the way we delivered our travel stipend program. We found a way of delivering it that we felt was less onerous on the client in terms of reporting, less paperwork, more business friendly, we'll say. So that was an ongoing piece. When we rolled the programs out, we said that this year, 2017-2018, would be the first full year of evaluation on the program. So we're doing that evaluation this year, and we're doing it as part and parcel to the review on business financing. So the review of business financing is a government-wide initiative. We have every department that provides some sort of assistance to financial assistance to companies is participating. So, for example, Department of Finance, Forest and Land Resources, Natural Resources, Research and Development Corporation, et cetera. So all of us would be meeting and tackling this together. So what we're doing there is we're looking at the programs individually, how they function. We're also looking at the Government of Newfoundland programs as a basket and sort of how do they work together, right? Are they being effective? And the third piece we're looking at is how those programs operate within the broader ecosystem, a financial ecosystem that's out there. Because if you think about it, there are a lot of players out there. There are commercial lenders, there are community business development corporations, there are federal government programs such as NSERC, Export Development Canada, Business Development Canada. So we're looking at the programs in the context of that broader ecosystem. So really we're looking at two things, I think. We're looking at the effectiveness of our programs in terms of our outputs, our logic model outputs, and we're looking at our efficiency in terms of our we're looking at our efficiency in terms of our outputs, and we're looking at our effectiveness in terms of the outcomes that we're trying to achieve using our logic model. So to give you a sense as to what we're looking at, I guess in terms of efficiency, like the outputs, what I'm talking about is basically our financial our investments. So it could be a loan guarantee, could be an equity investment, could be a conditionally repayable loan, could be a secured loan. We'll be looking at things like, have we reduced red tape, the timeliness of our decision. Are we turning around financing in the time that business needs it? Are our files properly documented? Is our security adequate? You know, are we duplicating what another agency is doing? Right? Are we crowding out other funding? Because that's a real concern for us. We want to leverage funding from commercial lenders, federal government, and others. We don't want to supplant funding from those sources, right? We don't want to move the burden of financing businesses from, say, the taxpayer of Canada to the taxpayer of Newfoundland and Labrador, or from the Bank of Montreal to the taxpayer of Newfoundland and Labrador. In terms of the outcomes, we're looking at outcomes dependent upon the goal of the investment. So we're looking at GDP impact would be one of the things we'll be looking at, revenue generation, top-line revenue generation, cost savings, productivity. If it's aimed at an innovation type of investment, you would probably see us measure startups, scale-ups. We'd also be looking at new market development, which I think is going to be pretty important for companies, especially as we get into talking about sort of some of the accelerated growth companies. Some companies are growing fairly quickly. They may be chewing up the domestic market pretty fast, so our investments are meant to help open up new markets, and if they're not opening up new markets, then they may not be successful. So I guess that's sort of where we are in terms of our moving forward. The project, we do project and client monitoring, so we do account status reports, which would be produced usually, I think, monthly. As part of that, we would be grading our investments in terms of how likely we are, I guess, to get repaid, whether they're current with their payments, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, that sort of thing. We gather client feedback through assessment on client feedback forms. We do financial reports on a monthly basis that are, again, our management committees, as I already referenced. So there's a lot in there. Maybe I'm probably going into too much here. Maybe it's better to step back and have a follow-up.
Okay, well, I was more or less thinking, like, if we had a project, for argument's sake, I look at the chair in front of me, if it was a company that came to you with a proposal they're going to make chairs, like, is there a project that you might have done a final evaluation on where there's a report that says that, okay, this was done, it was a great investment, we produced this many man hours or whatever. Like, is that being done, or...?
It depends on the type of program, the types of measures that are used. So, for example, our investment attraction fund would be very much focused on jobs. So what would be done as part of that investment is we would go in and we would do baselining in terms of existing employment. We would look at where the employment is, what the wage levels are. We would then put in place a conditionally repayable loan where we would then flow that money to the company based on job targets that we would negotiate with the company. Where the company does not hit their job targets in that particular case, we would recover our funding from the client because, again, it's a secured loan. So in some cases, that's the sort of piece that we would, you know, be very focused on in terms of, you know, employment creation. When we're doing investments in, say, more in the innovation space, where you've got a young person who's just developed a new patent on something, our measures may be a little bit different because it might take some time for that company to grow. So their ability to leverage funding from other sources might be something we would think would be important. So it really depends on where the client, the company is in terms of its stage of investment. But we do have sort of across-the-board metrics, you know, such as, you know, if our funding is debt financing, are we getting repaid? Are we satisfied? Are we getting the right sort of distribution of funds? Are we getting... based on what we've looked at, are we seeing the types of outcomes we're desiring? So again, that could be employment creation, but it could just as easily be top line revenue or market development. So we have a stipend program that is aimed at opening up new markets. In that case, the success is is measured in terms of a evaluation form that would look at things like whether or not the company has made sales during a trade activity, whether or not they've made introduced to new potential clients that they think they can develop into customers over time, whether or not they've had to innovate their product or service to adapt to local climatic markets or regulatory environments, those sorts of things.
Thank you. Okay.
Mr. Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have a lot of questions. You give a lot of detail there, Tom, which is a good thing. Under the response from Minister Michimore, he states there's a committee of deputy ministers and equivalents that's been established to various departments to review, review your performance indicators. So, like, what are the timelines? What are the plans? Like, I know the committee's in place, but what are your timelines for developing into something tangible?
The committee has already started its work and process to that. There are various stages. So one is maybe an inventory of the existing financing programs that are out there. So looking at what different departments offer, what the criteria is, to what extent they overlap. In some cases, it's involved bringing in people from outside to maybe educate some of the committee members, because it's not everyone, unless you're into this on a regular daily basis dealing with the different funding sources, you may not be fully aware of the full range of financing programs that are out there, right? So to help the people involved in that committee, again, to make determinations around either the effectiveness of the project of the program in terms of, whether it's achieving what it's desired, is it actually growing the economy, is it moving the needle, right, is it creating new companies, or in terms of efficiency, are we making turnaround times, or that sort of thing. I think overall we've said, I think by the end of this year, the goal is to, the information that is gathered through this process is going to inform the budget process for 2018-2019.
Okay. On that same topic, I know that you got senior staff and the deputy ministers. Was there any thought given to including stakeholders or outside of government officials to get their viewpoints? Because sometimes that can be valuable as well.
Yes, we've had meetings with a number of individuals, including Peter Hall, Vice President of Export Development Canada. We've had meetings as recently as, I believe, last week or the week before with the Business Development Canada. We have Atlantic Canada Opportunities Agency. We do regular surveys of our clients, so we have a fairly good handle on what our clients' needs are. Moving forward, we've, as people know, I guess it's no secret, our department has gone through a significant restructuring this year, which we think puts us in a pretty good footing. Now, there's a couple of things about that restructuring. So, one is we've created a new division of sector diversification. So, this division of sector diversification is tasked with developing sector strategies. So that's meant at looking at sort of trying to quantify the sector, looking at what the challenges and opportunities are associated with the sector, looking at what the potential for GDP impact is and employment creation within the sector, looking at the number of intermediaries that are out there within the sector, industry associations, other players, and looking at the types of financing that are there. That sector work, I think, goes a long way to addressing some of the concerns that the Auditor General has made around the program overall in terms of, well, what are the outcomes, what are the goalposts, what is it you're trying to achieve. I don't think that's going to come from the program so much as it's going to come from the sector strategies, that we're going to lay out sector strategies that are going to set these goals. The other piece is we've created a division of sector research, which is new, and the idea behind a division of sector research is that they can in real time monitor what's happening with the sector. They can look at trends, and we can revise our assumptions. We can revise our targets based on evidence, which is something, I'm not saying we haven't done it before, but we may not have had as much evidence as I would have liked. We would not have been doing as much, primary and secondary research. We would not be doing, as a rule, lit reviews, to looking at what is happening in other jurisdictions and how people are dealing with problems. So we have a sector research division. The third division, I think, is of note, is the division headed by my colleague here, Larry Weatherby, is the Accelerated Growth Division. In that case, we are targeting companies that have potential for high growth, right? So, and what we've used is a fairly firm metric. We've said companies that have demonstrated on average 20% growth year over year for three consecutive years with minimum sales of $5 million a year. Okay? So that is meant as a lead indicator, given that I think right now, I think in Canada, over half the workforce currently works for what's considered to be a rapidly growing company. We believe that's a lead indicator to get at some of those things that I believe the Auditor General was looking for in his report. The fourth piece, the fourth change, which is the last one I'll mention, is we've created a new division of corporate services. And what we've done there is we've taken the people who do the evaluation on these programs, and we've combined them with the people responsible for the analysis and the management of information within the department. Now, it seems like a small move, but that hasn't been done before. So it should, in theory, make it easier for the people doing the evaluation to have discussions with their colleagues in their division, jointly plan and use the information management systems of the department to gather that for reporting purposes.
Perfect. Good.
Now, one more. The Auditor General recommended reporting periodically to the House of Assembly, and I know, again, in response to the Minister, he states to the annual report, which is pretty standard across all government departments, their annual reports are submitted to the House Assembly. Based on a program like this, it's you know, over $100 million, and it's different than a lot of other programs. Has there been any thought given to probably providing a different reporting mechanism outside the annual report to the House to get more detailed based on the figure, based on the program, I guess?
It depends. So we have the annual report that we report on by every, I think it's tabled by September 30th every year, which we table a strategic plan, then we table an annual report, which, I guess measures our performance against that plan. The other piece we do is we file a Business Investment Corporation annual activity report. I don't know if people, it also comes out as tabled by September 30th. That report would also contain information on our investments, number of applications, number and value of applications, percentage of projected revenues collected, because there's a collection function, again, because many of the investments we make are debt instruments, right? So we'll capture that data as well. I think as we move forward with the sector plans, we are going to be communicating sector goals. For example, we recently did with the department, with the our tourism, we said we were going to grow double over 2009 numbers by a certain date. The plan is, once these sector strategies are developed, is to set firm metrics around those as well and communicate those, so that those plans will become public documents. They're meant to be living documents. We want to move away from, I think, carving things in stone. We want to create a plan that gives us something to aim for, but that is dynamic enough to respond to the realities of a changing economy as it happens.
Thank you.
You good? Ms. Persons?
Thank you. My question is with regards to recommendation number 2, and that's where programs are not meeting performance targets, the department responsible should address whether program changes are required. And as we know, across our province, Newfoundland and Labrador, many business programs are given assistance in partnerships with other agencies, such as ACOA, which is certainly a wonderful thing. So how has the department worked with agencies to ensure proper and effective reporting measures are in place? Now, I know you've given us a lot of information, but if you could probably elaborate on that for us.
Sure. I think one of the pieces that's upcoming, maybe one of the most current, will be in the next week, we'll be forming a regional trade network with the Global Affairs Canada, Atlantic Canada Opportunities Agencies, and the number Export Development Canada, and a number of industry associations. So we'll be sitting at a table with everyone, jointly developing work plans, jointly talking about what we can fund, what we can support, what the limitations on our resources are, how we can work together. Because, again, our goal is to leverage funding from other sources. We are too small, I think, to do all the heavy lifting ourselves, and this is certainly too small a place to work in isolation. We need to have all those players at the table. So I think that would be a good example of where we are, of something that's maybe current. I think you'll see in the past, over the last year, I think you'll see a lot more engagement with the federal partners than you've seen. You've seen it through the Atlantic Growth Strategy. where you'll see, even in the case of the accelerated growth program, which my colleague here heads, we have with the federal government a sort of a working memorandum of understanding as to how we'll approach those clients. So we'll basically approach them as more of a SWAT team. Like often in business financing, people wait for their clients to come to them. It's sort of a banker mentality, right? So what we're trying to do collectively is reach out and find those companies that have got potential for growth and work together to provide a seamless one-stop shop for those companies to try to move them more quickly. But it's us, provincial government, working hand-in-hand with the federal government. So in some cases, in a recent project we were involved in with, our department would have provided business counseling, but we didn't have to provide any money, and we shouldn't have, because the Atlantic Canada Opportunities Agency stepped in with a $3 million loan. That provided more than sufficient, so there was no need. The company did not need more capital. What they needed from us was advice and market intelligence, and that's what we can provide. So that's how we're looking at how we work together. It's a mix of financial instruments and non-financial supports, you know, network development, business counseling, business retention and expansion, diagnostic tools, those sorts of things.
Right. Also, if you can measure, and how you measure success, we'd say, you know, when a company comes forward. I'll use the example of Harbor Grace Ocean Enterprise, which is located in Harbor Grace, in my district, Harbor Grace, Port Grave. They're shipbuilding, and of course, they have a lot of potential with, you know, with expansion. They're very busy. There's a lot of international business that's certainly coming up on their doorstep. So when a company like that reaches out to government, to this particular department, how do you measure success? I mean, with successful applicants in the past, and how it benefits to our local economy all around. I mean, what can you give us some feedback on successful applicants who have obtained these programs?
Right. So I guess normally when a client comes into us, we do an assessment. So we look at things like competitive impact. We want to make sure that any company that we support, we do not want to use taxpayers' dollars to allow one taxpayer to gain some sort of advantage over another. We'll do an assessment in terms of management. We'll look at how strong the management is in terms of financial expertise, marketing expertise, production expertise. So can they provide the service that they want to provide? Can they control their costs? Are they able to sell the services and products that they set out to do? We do assessments in terms of pro formas, in terms of whether or not the cash, the financing that's provided can be debt serviced. We apply sensitivity analysis tools. We do those sorts of things up front to try to gain some assurance that we're going to do a little bit better. It's sort of like being at a baseball game. You ever watch people before a baseball game? You know, people, you know, somebody will practice in a batting cage. They might watch a tape of the opposing pitcher. They might do a number of things. It doesn't necessarily guarantee a home run, but it does significantly increase the likelihood of getting a home run. And I think that's what these steps do. Once we get into the funding arrangement, there are a number of criteria used. Generally, if it's a repayable instrument, one of the success criteria is going to be us getting money back. You know, it's the taxpayers' money. We don't throw it around willy-nilly. We want to make sure that is recovered. In terms of what we look at a success criteria, it really varies by the project. So obviously growth and exports is a big one for us. Gains in productivity would be a big one for us. In the case of Harbor Gray Shipyards, for example, it could very well be an initial sale to a new client, or it could be access to maybe industrial technology benefit programs through the Atlantic Shipbuilding Program. So if they haven't availed of ITBs in the past, and this project was geared towards helping them obtain ITBs, their success in getting industrial technology benefits through the program would be considered a success. So again, you're looking at things like contribution to GDP, employment creation, employment retention, which often gets overlooked. I mean, we want to see clients, we want to see businesses grow, but also we don't want to see companies, wither away either. So there's a number of criteria, and it's what I'm trying to say is that the programs have gone from 21 to 2, and there's one business financing program. It was meant to be fairly general and fairly open as to who can apply. Where the metrics come from are based on the sector and where the company is in terms of their life cycle, whether or not they're a new startup, whether or not they're an experienced company. So it pretty much varies. So it's hard for me to say without sort of going through Harbor Grace as an example, but I think I'm sort of getting to the in generality, like, you know, we'd also look at it also in terms of the level of risk would be something else we would consider, which might shape our expectations. In some cases, it might be, I'm not saying that we want to support a business to fail. We'd never do that. But we don't want to become so risk adverse that potentially good projects are getting strangled in the crib.
Okay. Are you confident, too, that staff, you know, has the adequate training, you know, to get the maximum effectiveness, you know, through working with these agencies and through these programs?
Yeah, in the past in the past year, so I can only speak since maybe I'll turn to my colleagues, but I can only speak since August, since I've been here. We've undertaken a program of training. So that's the training is really maybe in three areas. So first piece of training was around awareness of what other programs were out there. Often we work very closely with the Atlantic Canada Opportunities Agency. I think many of our staff were comfortable with those programs. They understand them quite well. They may not be as familiar with the Natural Sciences Engineering Research Council programs or the Export Development Canada poolside programs, those sorts of things. So we did training where we brought in people from other departments, other agencies, to talk about what it is they can do, how it is they do it, what we can learn from them. So there's that piece. Second piece was around the actual assessment of some of these projects. And this was meant to be training for new employees and refresher training for employees that have been there for some time. Because even though everyone in the department, pretty much, if you look at the profile of who works there, you'll see there's a lot of commerce graduates, a lot of Masters of Business Administration, lots of chartered accountants, those sorts of things. But we can all benefit from refreshers. And we did a program of training with those companies with those people who looked at things like the eligibility of investments, like what exactly are criteria, but then get into the desirability. So one set is criteria of exclusion. What things should we not be doing? You know, for example, I already mentioned competitive impact. There are certain things you don't want to do. And then you may have more applications than you have resources. So how do you prioritize and how do you rank those things? So looking at criteria around desirability, technical assessments in terms, again, pro formas, management capabilities, security, types of security arrangements that you would take, debentures supported by, you know, personal guarantees, fixed floating charges, those sorts of things. Look at marketing, which is, I think, one of the areas that sometimes, I won't say it's been overlooked, but maybe it needs more work. Without solid market research, your pro forma statements are really just plug numbers, right? They don't really mean anything. They'll show that your debt will get repaid or that the company's going to grow, but you really need to get under and challenge the sort of assumptions on which the pro formas are based, and marketing, I think, is one of the big ones. So looking at how you validate the market information, I think, is another piece. What we would seek in terms of financial commitments from the companies, what we would look for in types of investment, whether it would be, direct shares, shareholder loans, personal loans, intercompany loans, those sorts of things. So looking at all the sort of pieces around that. So we would do a fair bit of assessment or training in that area with staff. And I think that's, again, it's good. It's as good for the person who's got 20 years experience as a chartered accountant as it does for somebody that's new. And the third piece I'll just mention around training gets into our service standards, which is new, and it is another piece I should have mentioned in terms of public reporting. The question was asked, are there other forms of public reporting that we should do in addition to the our annual report? Another piece we do is that we were the first department in government to set service standards. We've now set a service standard of 7 weeks once all the information has been received to process a loan or a financing application. We've set a target or made a commitment within 2 days of being approached by a client to arrange a business counseling session. Those targets have been communicated publicly. They are on our department website. We have committed to report on them on a yearly basis on our website, whether or not we've been meeting the targets that we've set. To do that work, we would have engaged in baseline with the employees in terms of what the processes were now. It would have involved process mapping, and would involve very close monitoring in terms of where are the bottlenecks, what stages in the assessment processes are things getting slowed down, or maybe we're not getting the information we need from the client because maybe we haven't been as clear as we should be. Those sorts of things.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Persico, Ms. Rogers.
Great. Thank you very much. That's a lot of information. It's great to hear. Can you tell us a little bit now, because you said when we look at the sector diversification, sector research, and so decisions can be made based on evidence, the accelerated growth division, targeting companies with potential for growth, the new division of corporate services. Can you give us sort of a global picture, an overall picture of where you really want to see investment going? What are some of the industry areas? What are some of the targets? Where is some of the potential growth? Where are our accelerated growth areas? What are you looking at for the province in the near future and perhaps even further afield?
All right. Well, in the case of firm types, I'll say maybe there are different types of entrepreneurs, right? So you have entrepreneurs out of necessity. Somebody works for a plumbing business that goes out of business, but they still own their tools, so they start doing plumbing work on their own. You know, we'll say we've got Main Street businesses, you know, restaurants, dry cleaners, other businesses that would operate, and maybe if they ceased to operate, somebody else might naturally move in to take over that share. Another type of entrepreneur, which is the one which I think we're increasingly interested in and we've committed to working on an Atlantic Canada basis, is around scalable entrepreneurs, those businesses that have potential for rapid growth. Right? I believe that one of the companies that we've announced two of these companies publicly and people would be familiar with them would be Blue Drop and Dynamic Air Shelters. Right? So these are companies that are operating in Newfoundland and Labrador, have shown an ability to grow and create jobs, meaningful jobs, well-paying jobs for Newfoundlanders and Labradorians. So the question becomes is how do you help those companies grow faster, right? How do you, how do you proactively seek them out and work with them? If you operate as a bank, if you sit back and wait for people to come in through the door to meet with you, if you're letting your clients find you, you may not be getting those companies that have potential for rapid growth. The poor analogy I'll use might be like a marriage counselor, that some of the people coming in through the door may not have the strongest relationships with a marriage counselor, the same way that some of the companies that may be approaching our economic development staff, while they are still valuable to the overall economy and while we will still support them and help them with business counseling, they may not be the companies that have got the potential to create significant amounts of employment for in the province and wealth in terms of moving the GDP needle and whatnot. So we will be seeking those companies out and working with them on a proactive basis. So that, I think, is one area of focus. I think you'll see, and that's by company type. In terms of sector, what the sector diversification piece is meant to do is to help us put some metrics around the sectors and what the potential for those sectors are and what types of investments are needed. Again, I think, and I don't want to speak for the auditor, but I think the auditor general, when he's talking about the outcomes that he would like us to talk about, that he would like to see evidence in our programming, are those sorts of things that are based on evidence, right? So it's not a case of us just through producing numbers through systemic interaction, us talking to each other. It's about us working very closely with industry. It's about us doing literature reviews. It's about us gathering all the information that's needed. Moving forward, I think what we'll be doing is we'll be prioritizing sectors and we'll be prioritizing some of those sectors for investment. That means that we are not shutting down to other sectors, but it means, again, we're being out proactively seeking clients in that space. And I don't want to, at this point in time, the piece of work is still ongoing, so I don't want to get out ahead of it and prejudge what's going to come out of it. But, I mean, that's what we've tasked with everyone with doing. So right now we have a number of sectors we support. Are we being effective? How big are our sectors now? If we don't have that sort of base data, it's very difficult to measure your success.
So at this point, you're saying you really don't have targeted sectors. I guess my question is because I would think that it's probably not just piecemeal, oh, there's a nice business there, there's a nice business there, but that there might be an understanding of this is a sector that's a potential growth area that would work well with our geography, with our skill level, with our time in history. And so where is the direction right now? Again, because you don't want to simply sit as a bank and wait for people to come. So I assume that you are doing outreach, that you are doing work and trying to encourage certain sectors. So do you have a sense of what that is? What
Yes.
sort of your overall plan is and a direction that the province, that the business community is going in that is healthy for the province and healthy for our public monies to be invested in?
Sure. So we work right now with we have programs in place with maybe 7 or 8 industry associations. So Newfoundland Labrador Environmental Industry Association, mm-hmm. the Newfoundland Alliance of Technical Industries, Canadian Manufacturers and Exporters, Newfoundland Labrador Organization of Women Entrepreneurs. We would Oceans Advance. So again, there are a number of areas. So in the case of, for example, of Oceans Advance. Oceans is an area we feel we have some advantage in. We are an island. We have a lot of our employment is created through ocean-related activities, whether that's offshore oil and gas, fishing, aquaculture. We are part of an Atlantic Canada cluster initiative proposal looking at the recently announced $950 million federal government proposal. We have a short document being prepared. We are hopeful that as Atlantic Canada we'll be successful in leveraging that investment in the industry, but that's about it's about developing new technologies, new sorts of sensors, integrated operations, ocean data, innovative uses of genomics. So yes, that's somewhere where we feel that we have some strength, and I think that is somewhere that we've already indicated that we're looking at in a serious way. In terms of some of the other sectors, you got to be careful that sectors themselves are so broad. So, for example, if I were to talk about environmental industries, that could encompass everything from clean coal to back to sensor technologies or environmental effects monitoring. So there may be areas within that sector that we would have competitive advantages. Like, for example, I would think wastewater management would be an area within the environmental sector that we've got some potential because we have a number of companies in that sector that have got cutting-edge technology. We are living on an island, so we are pumping a lot of stuff into the ocean that we have to treat, so we have to get good at it. We have new federal regulations that are coming in place mm-hmm. that are increasing wastewater standards that, in terms of what can be raised. And we have considerable federal government investment in clean tech. So I think like that, for example, might be an area that we would go in. So I guess what I'm saying is even within the sectors themselves, there might be a bit more refinement in terms of what we're looking at than what we've had in the past.
So because we're dealing with public funding and I just want to look at sort of one area in particular. When last year in 2016, the minister indicated that $3.8 million invested in gray aquaculture has most likely been lost. That was an investment. And now government is considering $45 million equity investment to Grieg Aqua. It's a $230 million aquaculture project around that. So going forward on a project like that, what would be the safeguards? Because that looks like that's money that's gone in terms of that we've lost that investment in Grey Aqua. So going forward in potential with investment, for instance, because I believe that aquaculture is a targeted area for growth and investment. So what safeguards are in place to ensure that we will not lose that investment of $45 million, for instance, in Grieg aquaculture?
Well, I guess a couple of points. First of all, just as a disclaimer, I'll say that the aquaculture investment is made through fisheries,
yes.
Lands, whatnot. So, but I will say that in terms of how we would manage risk in that type of project, for example, you're really dealing with two types of risk. You're dealing with technical risk and you're dealing with financial risk. So if you're looking at technical risk, you're dealing with things like whether or not the fish can survive and the types of water conditions that you have, what are your stocking assumptions, can you fit that number of fish in a pen, are there supporting veterinarian services in the area, is there complementary, those sorts of technical issues. So you would try to mitigate the technical issues, I think, as you go. You would try to look at least we would provide advice on how you might manage those to some extent, with a lot of that advice coming from the line department itself, because they would have the aquaculture specialists and whatnot. In terms of financial risk, there would be a number of things you would try to do. Obviously, security is one we've talked about before. It's not uncommon for us to take security on an investment. Another thing that you can look at doing is trying to match the investment to return on treasury. You can try to look at, well, when are the investments flowing, mm-hmm. and when are the returns to treasury accruing? And there may be opportunities to match the outflow of capital with the anticipated inflows to provincial treasury, thereby negating the risk to the taxpayer, because if the activity didn't happen, the taxpayer wouldn't be, the benefits wouldn't happen either. The other thing we would look at is in terms of the overall funding program. You want to make sure, again, like I mentioned before, in terms of our own training, you want to make sure that the company's got the management expertise, you know, the technical expertise, marketing expertise to pull off a project like that. You're looking for international market connections, and you're looking for capital. And this is one of the things I think you might want to look at, or you might consider on that type of project, is you would want to make sure that the proponent's money flowed before yours, or at worst case, flowed prorated with yours, right? So that you're not in any circumstance getting Government of Newfoundland and Labrador money into a company before the investor themselves is committed and has, you know, skin in the game sort of piece. Another thing you might do is you might build back to your technical risks. You might build off ramps. You might say, look, we're going to stage gate this project and we're going to flow money over maybe a 4 or 5 year period. Or 6 year period. Based on performance metrics, if you have not hit certain targets, then we may say, okay, we're out. We're out until such time as you're able to do this. So if Gillian has a company and she says that she's going to have a barge and pen work completed by December 31st, and it's December 31st and the work is only half done, before any more money flows on behalf from the Crown, that they have to put in place a plan to address that, and we wait for that work to be completed. So I think that's the point, and you would see that in a lot of the commercial financing as well, and that's another thing we would look for, is commercial financing at the table, right, because I think that brings an extra level of due diligence, and you'll see those companies also build off-ramps into their funding programs, so you would try to parallel those off-ramps. I think that's just some of the things you might do.
Okay, so and the Auditor General is looking and addressing the issue of performance targets as well, both, I imagine, for the financial assistance to the business, to the programs, but then also to individual companies that are financed through some of the programs. So you were saying that it's too soon to do a full-scale evaluation because we've only just, in the past 2 years, consolidated all the number of departments. Where are we at this year in terms of getting the money out through the door, in terms of the budgets that have been allocated, and you're looking forward in terms of what we might see by the end of the fiscal year? How is that?
I think it would vary based on program type. I would think under the Investment Attraction Fund, the bulk of the money would be committed. I think the cultural funding generally flows pretty quick. People have developed an expectation around the funding that they use for different programs. In terms of our Business Investment Corporation, that's a revolving fund. So we're collecting funds, and those funds are coming in. There are funds coming out. So we have the capacity to handle varying amounts of activity, but I guess to your question, even though maybe oil prices are not as high as people would hope, and there are people that are no doubt feeling pain as a result of that, we have not seen a decline in approaches to us. Not yet. And I don't think I've seen... oh, it's okay, about the first quarter review? Oh, okay. So the first quarter review actually is just about to be undertaken, and Gillian will be part of that. But I don't think I haven't seen that was...
And can you speak a little bit about the accelerated...
Do you have much left on this?
Last question.
Well, last question, then I'll go to Mr. Finn. Okay, that's perfect.
Okay. Can you talk to us a little bit about the accelerated growth division and what areas you see where there's a potential for accelerated growth?
Is that direct? Okay, and I can... we can refer back and forth, I guess. In terms of what we see is that companies that grow rapidly often face similar challenges. So somebody who's running a company with, say, 15 or 20 people might be able to run that company just by being very knowledgeable about their product offering and being very enthusiastic and about wanting to make their company work. When companies get larger, they often require systems to run. You know, they may require ISO systems. They may require lean manufacturing systems. So generally we see there's a need for some sort of management improvement with rapidly growing firms. We also see issues around working capital. Companies are growing rapidly, are pumping money into inventory development, new equipment, those sorts of things. They may reach a point where they're tight on cash, and we don't want that tightness around cash to stall their development, right? Another piece you'll see is around market development. If a company is growing rapidly locally and is based in, say, an Atlantic Canada market, and I'll go back to wastewater treatment systems, there are only so many communities that can afford a certain scale of wastewater treatments. You can eat up the domestic market pretty quick, so you need to find ways to help that company diversify into new markets. So again, back to the example of, say, of Harbor Grace Shipyard. So it may be in the case of industrial technology benefit agreement transactions done through National Shipbuilding. It might be through opening up of international markets through our trade activities. It might mean piggybacking on top of some of the and some of the consultancy work that would be supported through the department by maybe marine institutes and others through maybe things that are funded through the World Bank or the Inter-American Development Bank, those sorts of things. So that's what I think would be three areas you would see. Would be needs for management improvement, working capital, and market diversification would be some. But again, it very much depends on the company. Some of the companies we are talking to, highly qualified personnel becomes a real issue for some of them. If they have a certain type of coding that they might be doing or a specialized computers, technology-related skill that's not readily available, they can pretty well eat up who's available here, and then they're having to recruit. Is Larry if I?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's been significant work done under the business innovation agenda, and there's been significant stakeholder consultation. Publicly, there was roundtables that took place over the last, I'm going to say, about a year. I'm just new in this position, so I don't quite have the timetable worked out. But anyway, and in that, there was a number of questions that were asked of the stakeholders. So in answer to your question about financing, one of the questions was access to capital. And so we are now currently evaluating those responses in consultation with the way forward and the more effective business financing. So it's all it's a puzzle that's fitting together about the overall business financing and how government has access to capital for not only scalable, high growth, high impact firms, but also in various sectors as well. We've done significant work in the department through market development. Mm-hmm. And to Ted's example, talking about wastewater, there was repeated missions to the Caribbean, where they do have a need for this particular need development. Mm-hmm. And so we look at the markets, and I mean, you look at these types of companies that we're talking about, the scale, the high impact. For the most part, the sales aren't coming from here. They're coming from elsewhere. So, you know, we have a significant Ocean Tech conference or trade mission that goes on in China and UK, which we will be participating in and bringing companies to. So we provide the foundation for these companies to break into new markets, and of course, it helps when government is escorting them or bringing them along.
And are there any particular companies, projects right now that you're really excited about in terms of looking into the future and what it might mean for business here in the province? Or?
Well, the two examples raised earlier by Mr. Lohman, talking about Blue Drop, mm-hmm. As well as Dynamic. Dynamic, that company came to Grand Bank a number of years ago, and it has scaled itself up, and we have been there at the very beginning, working with the company financially as well as providing advisory services wherever needed. We have local economic development officers there who have a connection with the vice president of the operation there. So we have a very, pardon the pun, dynamic relationship with that company. Blue Drop, well, I remember dealing with Emad Rascala back in the early 90s when he just got out of university, and he had lots of ideas, and he had various companies throughout. One company branched off into two, and now he's gone into Blue Drop, and it's, again, a very interesting, very successful entrepreneur, mm-hmm. and that's the type of individuals and companies that we're seeking.
Okay, Mr. Rogers, Mr. Finn, anything that hasn't been covered?
I think, yeah. Thank you very much, Mr. Lohman. Very thorough. In addition, I guess, to Minister Mitchell Moore addressing the three recommendations in his letter, certainly some great context there. I guess a lot of it was primarily around reporting performance targets, and it sounds like you've certainly had a number of targets. just for clarification, the number of programs you said was 20-odd down to?
21.
Okay. Yeah, very good.
21
programs reduced to two, mm-hmm. One of those being primarily a business financing program, the other one dealing with non-commercial. So you would often see community-based infrastructure that might support commercial development in some cases, but that would be through the other program.
Okay. So in terms of, I guess, the Auditor General's recommendation on performance targets and measurability and success and what have you, certainly a lot easier for you folks with two instead of 21, I guess.
Well, I guess it depends. Because based on the I'll turn it over to the Auditor General there in a minute. But I think that maybe in terms of if the programs are very compartmentalized, it may be easier to put very specific performance targets around the program. The problem then becomes is that you end up with sort of a range of programs that are kind of confusing for the client. You end up with money that you need in one program, whereas, but that's unattainable for a good client in another. So you end up in those sorts of things. So I guess the trade-off has been now that we've gone to a sort of a more open, flexible process, is to make sure that we do the other piece of work, which I'm talking about in terms of sector strategies and the sector research piece, to give us those targets that we can benchmark against and report on in terms of our performance, right? So we're looking at, in terms of ocean cluster development, that's going to impact us in a number of ways. It's going to impact it will be setting targets, and it will be influencing our thinking across a range of programs. So, for example, in terms of investment attraction, we may not do broad-based investment attraction. We may be looking for specific firms to complement or round out that sector, right? Because, again, if it's something that would add to the critical mass of companies in the region, that would give us, again, a competitive edge as a province or region, we might reach out on that specific piece. We may look at targeting investments towards high-growth firms, again, in a particular sector. So it's very much going to be driven, by the sector strategies.
Okay. Excellent. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thank you. I'm just going to make a few last comments, and then the normal process is to ask the AG if he has any comments. I'm pleased to hear that you've moved things forward, particularly around stakeholder engagement. Particularly around setting standards and timelines. I think it's very important for businesses to know exactly, if they've got an idea, if they've got a plan, the time frame to meet with somebody to see if it's viable, and then the time plan to know whether or not they can move forward. Because, as you know, most businesses have a multitude of partners and different stakeholders that they haven't engaged, and it could be a municipality, it could be another financing partner. Particularly also like the fact, the note of not working in isolation. Those days are gone. I mean, there's too many partners out there that have the same stake in the game and would like to obviously partner with you guys. So I think that's a great move forward. The fact, too, that you're looking at, why spend taxpayers' money in Newfoundland and Labrador if there's another funding source that can take the risk and that you guys can spend or your time and effort and your expertise into supporting the business in other ways. So I think that's another positive that addresses, you know, some of the issues here that will, underlining, get to achieving what the Auditor General had noted with some concerns, particularly around, you know, evaluation and determining best return on the investment. You know, also like the fact that the divisions are broken down because they, you know, would have specific needs or specific talents, but at the same time don't work in isolation, that there's a collaborative approach. And that's, you know, as a former civil servant, I always advocated that everybody has to have their niche and have their role, because you only confuse people if everybody gets in a room, everybody wants to have their say. Once you get to a point where you found that you can help a particular business, then you bring in all the experts from different divisions and see how you collaboratively can do that. So, you know, I thought that was a very positive thing. And hearing things about, you know, evidence base and collecting data, it's the only way at the end of the day we'll know whether or not we're going in the right direction. Do we need to have to go left or right along the way? Or don't fix so it's not broken. If it's working, keep it moving that way. So, you know, I see this as a positive. It's an older report. It's a two-year report, so, I mean, there was an expectation that you guys would have moved it, and we can see some real movement in the last year, particularly around, you know, what's changed within the department. And I know whenever you redesign a department, reallocate, there's always a lull there until everybody gets comfortable what they're doing and the connections. But what you've outlined here, if you continue on that path, you know, I think we as a committee will be very happy when we make our recommendations to the House of Assembly to follow around that, you know, this path forward will be a benefit to achieving the goals of the department. So that's from my perspective. The last word I'll give to the AG before we thank everybody for coming.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Chair. I have just some general comments on this particular issue, and then with your indulgence, I have two other things I'd just like to mention to the committee. Generally, I mean, I think what we found is that departments do a pretty good job on the day-to-day management of the portfolios and those sorts of things. I don't think that was really the issue. As a general theme over the 5 years I've been AG, I found, you know, we do a good job putting programs in, but we don't do a good job of evaluating the effectiveness of the programs, and really that's what the theme of this is. So, you know, if you don't know what you want out of a program at the beginning, how do you know whether you're successful? So, I mean, having effective targets and objectives and those sorts of things, I think, is key to ensuring that we have a quality program at the end of the day that achieves what we want to achieve. Mr. Lohman was just talking about sort of how to structure the objectives and those sorts of things. And really, you know, whatever makes sense for the department, how you segment it, I mean, that's really, you know, your call as to what's the most effective way to deal with that. I don't want to be too prescriptive around that. So you know, we'll have a follow-up, as you know, within you know, a year or two, and so we'll report back to the legislature on our findings on the implementation of the recommendations. I'm not sure if on two other things, somewhat separate. I did mention to some committee members, but I'm not sure if I mentioned to all of them, that tomorrow we will be releasing our annual report, similar to the one that we're talking about here. So it'll be available 9:30. I'll table it with the speaker at 9:30. It'll be available on the website, but hard copy will be with the speaker as well. So I'll be doing some media around 11 o'clock. And last, but probably most significant and important for me, I visited the speaker today and handed him my letter of resignation. So I'll be leaving at the end of October. I've got 5 years under my belt. Talked to my wife. Ready to go. So this could be my last Public Accounts Committee hearing, and I've enjoyed every bit of it, and going to miss it, but not miss it that much. So.
Well, you know, I know on behalf of the committee I can say, and I'm the longest standing one, going back to your tenure, it's been a privilege working with you, and it's you know, been a good collaborative debate back and forth. And sometimes we've had witnesses where we've attacked in the House of Assembly. Other times, like we have, I got to give credit, the last 2 days have been very indulging and very positive, I think, for the line departments coming back, showing that they're very proactive in moving things forward. We'll miss you, but we will have New Brunswick. You will still make that trip, I assume.
Well, my timing was selected purposely.
Yeah, for a reason. Yeah, that's late September. You leave in October.
Yeah.
So I'll do that. Anyway, I do want to thank the department and the officials for coming out, Mr. Lohman. And I do thank the Auditor General and his staff. And we'll have an opportunity to say goodbye officially down the road. And I thank the committee and Elizabeth here at the table. And, guys, the last 2 days have been, you know, consuming, but some good information. And, again, we look forward to putting our report to the House of Assembly to fall and acknowledging that things are moving forward. And we may have some recommendations around how we encourage things to go. And as Terry has said, we, you know, we're also the watchdog. So in a year or so, when there's a follow-up, because yours is a two-year-old report, you know, we're looking forward to be able to tick that one off and say everything is in line the way it should be and, you know, keep doing what you guys are doing. Anyway, thank you, guys. Have a great day. Oh, I need to adjourn. Lisa? No, before I do that, I need to adopt the minutes from yesterday's. Mr. Patton, Ms. Parsons, and Ms. Parsons made them. Oh, no. All in favor of accepting the minutes? Opposed? Motion carried. Motion to adjourn. Ms. Parsons, Mr. Patton. All in favor, signify saying aye. Opposed? Nay. Motion carried. Thank you.